On this Sunday night, direct hit. Dozens injured as a tornado sweeps through Tulsa, Oklahoma, damaging buildings and knocking out power to thousands. And the severe weather didn't end there. High stakes, top officials from the United States and North Korea about to come face to face. Will they be able to reduce the tension? Terrifying flight just before landing. Severe turbulence shakes everyone up, leaving some injured. Is climate change causing more bumpy skies? Molar City, it's a dental mecca that attracts tens of thousands of Americans, fixing their teeth and smiling at the price. And in the zone, among the best for their age, there was only one thing for them to do, compete against the boys of summer. Nightly News begins now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. It's something we normally expect to be reporting on in late spring, but rare weather patterns spawned a powerful tornado in Tulsa, Oklahoma overnight, the first tornado in August in that city since the late 50s. And there is more severe weather in the forecast for tomorrow. 5 million people are under threat from severe thunderstorms, high winds, and hail in parts of the mid-Atlantic. In Tulsa last night, the damage was extensive, with that tornado packing winds over 111 miles an hour. We begin tonight with Katie Beck in Tulsa.
The late night tornado swept through parts of Tulsa with no warning. The city sirens not sounding, many residents sleeping through the disaster, which struck after 1 in the morning.
That's Whataburger. Part of it, it's gone.
By the time the National Weather Service issued a tornado warning, at least 30 people were injured. Rooftops lifted off homes and businesses, tree limbs and debris scattered across the town.
It just happened too quickly. I mean, it was just all of a sudden it's there. We didn't have any ramp up time.
8 people inside this restaurant were taken to the hospital after the storm caused the building to collapse, trapping them inside.
It completely collapsed right on top of everybody, so It's lucky that people came out with their lives.
Jordan Hilliard was working at the bar and helped get customers out of the building.
As we were pulling everybody out, like, having to go through all this rubble was just insane.
The two-mile path of destruction, leaving as many as 11,000 without power overnight, and much of the Midtown neighborhood indefinitely closed for business.
It's definitely going to have to be some tile and carpet repair.
Yeah, it's going to keep us down for a little bit.
In New Orleans, relentless sheets of rain left many neighborhoods submerged. Floodwaters rising from 8 to 10 inches of rainfall Saturday, overwhelming the city's water and sewage systems. Officials say some areas of the city still had 2 to 3 feet of standing water overnight, with more rain on the way.
These constant weather patterns, they're extreme. They require us to all be vigilant and deal with them.
Back in Tulsa, the cleanup continues.
We're still trying to assess enough damage to make everyone feel safe and get this thing back up and running.
First responders say the timing of this tornado striking at 1 in the morning probably prevented fatalities. The path of the tornado followed a stretch of strip malls, and had it happened during the day, they would have been packed with people. Kate?
Lucky it wasn't worse. Katie Beck, thank you. For the United States, the growing menace of North Korea is at the center of a high-stakes summit going on in the Philippines tonight, with more than 24 foreign ministers from Asia and beyond. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is there, and a big question is whether he will end up talking with North Korea's foreign minister. NBC's Bill Neely is in the Philippines and has our report.
Behind all the smiles, it's a summit dominated by a rising nuclear threat from North Korea. Kim Jong-un has sent his long-range missiles flying this year and sent his foreign minister here to defend the relentless missile tests. But it's 26 nations against one here. The U.S. leading a summit united against North Korea's security threats and bolstered by a new U.N. resolution hitting it with still more sanctions.
Both threats to all of us and our common response to that, but also opportunities that exist among all of us to strengthen this relationship.
Even China, North Korea's only ally, told it publicly to stop being provocative. But it also urged the U.S. to stop military exercises with South Korea and even to dismantle its new anti-missile system there. China says talks, not tension, will resolve a critical situation. But tonight there was no talk from the US. Rex Tillerson was a no-show at the main summit dinner attended by every other foreign minister.
And to the next 50 years. Cheers.
The State Department saying Tillerson was preparing for day two of the summit, and it had nothing to do with the North Korean minister being there. One thing is certain, they will share a room for talks tomorrow, though it's not clear whether they'll talk to or talk at each other. Along with the tough new economic sanctions agreed unanimously at the UN, this summit will leave North Korea in no doubt that by testing missiles, it's playing with fire and with its future, and that it is now more isolated than ever. Kate?
Bill Neely, thank you. President Trump weighed in today on those new UN sanctions against North Korea as he kicks off what's billed as a working vacation. The administration dealing with a lot of talk today as well about his political future. We get more tonight from NBC's Kelly O'Donnell.
From his summer stay at his New Jersey golf resort, President Trump's first take on a significant foreign policy accomplishment, the North Korea sanctions, came without bravado. Two tweets noting in part, China and Russia voted with us. Very big financial impact. Today, the adrenaline out of the Trump administration came from Vice President Mike Pence. After a New York Times report described a shadow campaign for 2020, where prominent Republicans, including Pence, court donors and make political stops in case President Trump is not on the ballot. But in a lengthy rebuke, the vice president called the assertions disgraceful and offensive to me, laughable and absurd, and pledged his efforts to see Trump reelected in 2020.
It's the greatest privilege of my life to serve as vice president to a president who always puts America first.
Counselor Kellyanne Conway defended Pence's loyalty.
It is absolutely true that the vice president is getting ready for 2020 for reelection as vice president.
So no concern,
and
he's setting
also
up a
getting
shadow
ready
campaign
for 2018.
Speculation smolders given the president's low approval ratings and the storm clouds hovering from the Russia investigations and potential improper contacts by Trump allies. Today, when pressed about whether the president would try to fire special counsel Bob Mueller, Conway batted that away.
Commit not to fire.
We are complying and cooperating with He's not discussed firing Bob Mueller.
The Justice Department official currently overseeing Mueller's team, Rod Rosenstein, would have to approve any expansion of the probe into areas or people beyond the initial Russian election interference, and would not say if he had.
But Bob Mueller understands, and I understand, the specific scope of the investigation. And so, no, it's not a fishing expedition.
The White House says it will not discuss any specific conversations with Mueller's team, but says they are fully cooperating. The president's additional White House lawyer, who is handling document requests and working directly with the investigations, tells me he expects to visit Bedminster during the next 2 weeks. Kate?
Kelly O'Donnell with the president in New Jersey. Thank you. The United States and its NATO allies are showing off their military might this weekend, and so is the Russian military at a time when U.S.-Russia relations are at what President Trump has called an all-time and very dangerous low. We get that story from NBC's Matt Bradley.
This is the sound of sabers rattling. Dueling Russian and NATO war games just as tension between Russia and American allies reaches its worst point since the Cold War.
It's a deterrence to adversaries because what this is credible, serious capability.
On board the USS George H.W. Bush off the Scottish coast for a military exercise called Saxon Warrior. On the other side of Europe, Russia is hosting its annual International Army Games, showing off its military prowess. It's a prelude to Russia's massive naval drills planned for September. The exercise is called Zapad, Russian for West, after the direction they'll be facing. Belarus and China have also been invited. NATO officers say both drills were planned long in advance.
Exercise Saxon Warrior has been at least 3 years in the planning. It is indeed a coincidence.
But they come during uneasy times between Moscow and NATO. As Russia spars over Ukraine and Syria, and as close encounters between NATO and Russian pilots have increased in the region.
If things escalate, you will see our military capabilities rising, and that promotes the potential for miscalculation.
These joint U.S.-British exercises aren't just a show of force to Moscow. They're also a display of unity to America's NATO allies, some of whom have been having doubts about President Trump's commitment. President Donald Trump has chastised NATO countries, saying they don't spend enough on their militaries, and was slow to explicitly endorse America's commitment to NATO's collective defense. But these closely timed drills offer a glimpse of how a Cold War past could make for a risky future. Matt Bradley, NBC News, on board the USS George H.W. Bush.
Back in the U.S., the governor of Minnesota visited a mosque today that was bombed this weekend in a suburb of Minneapolis, and he called it an act of terrorism. The attack happened early yesterday morning when someone tossed an explosive into the mosque, shattering windows and damaging an office. No one was injured. A terrifying experience for passengers on an American Airlines plane this weekend. Severe turbulence just before it landed in Philadelphia on a flight from Greece. One of a number of incidents of dramatic turbulence lately. Steve Patterson has more.
1037 ES6 responded to Philadelphia International Airport.
The seatbelt signs were on, but that didn't keep 10 of the nearly 300 people on board American Airlines Flight 759 from Greece to Philadelphia from being injured. Severe turbulence rocked the plane over the Atlantic Ocean just 30 minutes before landing. The shaking so violent, drinks splattered on the ceiling.
I'd never experienced anything like it before, and the thought that went in my mind is, when a plane goes down, this is what it feels like.
Most of the injured were crew members, up serving drinks during the incident. The wild ride, just the latest example of extreme weather affecting passenger planes. In May, a flight from Moscow to Bangkok hit clear air, leaving blood and debris everywhere, 27 passengers injured. And in June, some passengers carried away on stretchers after a weather incident on a flight from Panama City to Houston. A study released in April says climate change is part of the reason we might be seeing an increase in rough air, the jet stream shifting, increasing the risk of severe turbulence on many major routes.
In the ballpark of 25% increase in how strong the turbulence will feel, but also up to a doubling of the frequency of the strong turbulence.
Plane makers like Boeing say their aircraft are designed for this. Wing load testing pushes aircraft well beyond the most extreme forces Mother Nature can provide. A bit of comfort for those moments when your flight hits some not-so-friendly skies. Steve Patterson, NBC News.
And an update tonight on that deadly accident at the Ohio State Fair 2 weeks ago. The company that makes the ride, called the Fireball, said today that it broke apart because of excessive corrosion in a support beam. That caused seats to snap off the ride, killing a young man and injuring seven other people. Still ahead tonight, they're finding a way to beat the high cost of dental care, heading by the thousands to a place known as Molar City. As the battle over health care plays out in Washington, America is also facing a dental crisis. Millions don't have dental insurance, and many of those who do say it doesn't cover enough. A lot of states also facing a shortage of dentists, forcing some to go elsewhere. Lucy Cavanaugh takes us to one surprising destination where Americans are getting dental care at a fraction of the cost.
Rising up from the Mexican desert, an oasis for dental care.
The Molar City. Here we are, waiting for you all.
Los Algodones, Mexico, better known as Molar City, is the self-proclaimed dental capital of the world. In this small community of just 5,000 people, there are more than 600 dentists working in some 300 clinics. And they are everywhere. Their patients?
Mesa, Arizona.
Palmdale, California.
Mississippi.
A staggering 114 million Americans lack dental insurance. Many are coming here as a last resort.
I have friends who couldn't believe it.
Retired teacher Roberta Jones couldn't afford treatment back home in Arizona.
How does it make you feel as an American that you have to go to another country to get affordable care that you need?
I think it's very sad because I really do think everybody should have medical care.
I might need to get you numb for this.
Dr. Ever has seen a 40% increase in the number of American patients this year.
So you guys are seeing some of the worst cases here.
Definitely. We do a CT scan, we give them treatment plans, multiple options, totally normal dental practice.
And at much lower prices because of lower labor, real estate, and malpractice costs. Brian Curry and his wife Teresa traveled more than 1,000 miles to save $35,000 on dental implants.
It's literally a huge cost savings.
Friends and family were more than a little skeptical.
They all go like, really? What are you thinking? And we just tell them we've done our research.
In the winter months, up to 7,000 Americans a day travel to Los Algodones, many of them attracted by the great dental deals advertised online.
I'm a happy camper. I can do this.
Inside the clinics, the waiting rooms are packed. That's where we met Anne-Marie Lee from Connecticut.
When they put the teeth in my mouth the other day, I just smiled and I was like, wow, I just can't believe it.
You feel like yourself again?
I feel like I can open my mouth and smile and talk to you.
A life-changing experience in a place where you'd least expect it. A risk more and more Americans are willing to take. Lucy Kafanov, NBC News, Los Algodones, Mexico.
We reached out to the American Dental Association about this story. By the way, its recommendation, patients should do their research. The organization says there are good and bad dentists everywhere. When we come back, what's behind a provocative new commercial by one of America's best-known companies?
Good, you see?
A new commercial explores the issue of racial bias in this country, and it's drawing both praise and criticism. It explores the issue in the past and present and was produced by one of America's best-known consumer products companies. We get more tonight from NBC's Rahema Ellis.
It's not fair.
The ad takes direct aim at racial bias in America.
Remember, you can do anything they can.
And strikes a raw nerve.
You are not pretty for a black girl.
You are beautiful, period.
Procter & Gamble launched the new ad campaign called The Talk 2 weeks ago online, with depictions of conversations between black mothers and their children. Instead of promoting the household products it's known for, the company says it wants to spark conversation. One scene shows a woman telling her daughter what to do if she gets pulled over.
When you get pulled over.
I'm a good driver. Okay?
Baby, don't worry.
This is not about you
getting a ticket. This is about you not coming home.
In a statement, Procter & Gamble writes, bias is universal and inherently human. Acknowledging and understanding it allows us all to work together to put an end to its harmful effect. Tweets about it range from outrage, line crossed, I'm not a racist, but it seems you are, to support, thank you for a thought-provoking commercial. I was emotionally touched. Why do you think Procter & Gamble is doing this?
I think a lot of brands are considering, you know, different social issues and they want to touch on them in a way that they think is impactful.
Recently, Pepsi apologized and pulled an ad featuring reality TV star Kendall Jenner, who portrayed a fashion model turned peace activist at a protest rally. Critics accused Pepsi of making light of a civil rights issue to sell a soft drink. And a Heineken online ad takes on a range of subjects like gay rights, racism, gender equality, and suggests talking about differences over a beer.
It's an ugly, nasty word, and you are going to hear it.
Tonight, one of the nation's biggest companies trying to win consumers by sending a message instead of pitching a product. Procter & Gamble says it will roll out the commercial on television this week. They tell us the ad builds off a previous campaign about appearances, and its marketers are already planning more ads about issues, including gender equality, Kate.
Brought a lot of us to tears. Rahema, thank you. And speaking of gender equality, when we come back, who says girls can't compete with the boys and beat them on the same playing field? Finally tonight, it was a big weekend in Florida for one of the best youth baseball teams in the country. They made a strong showing, coming in third in this weekend's tournament ahead of six other teams. But to them, it was no big deal. It's just what they do. NBC's Tammy Leitner was there.
Whether batting, catching, or scoring a run, these athletes are some of the best youth baseball players in the nation. And they are all girls.
I play baseball because it's more challenging than other sports.
Meet the only girls travel baseball team. They don't play against other girls. They play boys.
You've played girls in the past. And what's that like?
No offense, but it's not really challenging.
I like playing boys because it's challenging and it proves a point.
Maddie Saban's dad, Robert, started Girls Travel Baseball, GTB, just under 2 years ago. He says Maddie was out playing many middle schoolers but wasn't getting the same coaching as the boys.
One of the coaches where Maddie was going to go to school came up to me and said that, you know, there'll never be a girl step on his field and play the game of baseball.
Despite the skeptics, the team has grown from 8 players to about 100 from the U.S. and Canada, competing in tournaments around the country.
What's it like competing against boys?
It's competition. I mean, they can be tough sometimes, but we do what we have to do.
But not everyone wants to play ball with girls. Plenty of boys' teams have backed out after finding out who their opponents were.
Some of the jokes started, hey, if we lose to a girls' team, you know, you're going to be running laps.
Turns out the girls won this weekend, beating not one, but two boys' teams.
I try to tell people she's a baseball player. She just happens to be a girl. Maddie, what would your advice be to young girls who want to play baseball?
When it gets tough, don't stop. Keep going. I was tough for me when I was little. They kept trying to push me in softball, and I didn't stop. I kept going.
Come on, Maddie.
The girls see no limits.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a Major League Baseball player.
Someday, these girls of summer may do just that.
Aubrey!
Tammy Leitner, NBC News, Apopka, Florida.
Game on. And that is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. Lester Holt will be back here tomorrow. I'm Kate Snow in New York. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.